This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Wells Tech. This is episode 527, recorded on December 12th, 2017. Our show is about technology and about ministry and where those two intersect. And joining me as usual, my podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
So happy to be joining you on this very special day, December 12th. We get to celebrate. You know what today is, right?
December 12th. Is this our first podcast?
Sorry, no, that's coming up still in January. Today is National Ding-a-Ling Day, and that is especially special for me, I have to admit, because I consider myself a ding-a-ling because I play
handbells. That's
where all this was
going, yes.
And we actually are having a handbell party tonight. So when I realized today was National Ding-a-Ling Day, I thought, what better day to celebrate the joy and fellowship we have.
All these ladies in my life are throwing dates at me these days. Yesterday, my wife said, well, you know what today is, right? And it was, I knew it was a test that I passed. But it was a date of our first date 36 years ago.
So. Sweet. Very sweet. Yeah. Well, yeah, ding-a-lings don't really mean handbells. They mean call your favorite person on the phone. So you can dial someone up and wish them a happy ding-a-ling day.
One ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. Date myself there, too. Sally, we're in the second week in December. We have an abbreviated focus for our month of December. And what is that?
Well, we're looking at the use of Trello for planning purposes in the church and school. The fact that we're coming up on a brand new year, 2018 is just around the corner, and it's probably a really good time to try to wrap your brain around the whole year of activities that happen in your church or school. And we're suggesting Trello might be a good tool to do that with. Not just suggesting it, we've created a sample Trello board, which our listeners can easily make a copy of with a free Trello account, and then they can just modify it to meet their needs. Or they can maybe adopt what we're saying over a year or so and add cards as they experience them, and then in 2019, make use of the board to look at the whole year ahead. So
just in case you're tuning in for the first time or you didn't hear last week's episode, Trello is simply a digital or a kind of a web-based tool. They have actually applications now for Mac and PC, but a kind of a card-based system where you have kind of a board, a Trello board, and on that board you have lists, and on those lists you can put cards, and those cards have all kinds of capabilities that you can include in them, including attachments and checklists and those kinds of things, and we're going to go through that today. I will say that even if you don't want to use Trello, which is a free tool, and they have a freemium model, so you can have free, but then you can pay for extra additional features, but a lot of the principles that we're talking about last week and this week do apply whatever tool that you're using. So there are other tools that do similar things, but the concept is the same. The whole planning of a year of ministry or a quarter of ministry or a month of ministry is important. The collaboration part is important, the ability to kind of collect all the pieces together, to have some kind of calendaring function. So whatever tool you're using, I think the concept or the principles are the same, that you really want to get this down, you want to involve multiple people, and you want to have enough organizational tools there that you don't have to go to three or four different places to kind of bring that all together. So that's the whole point of a tool like Trello. And Trello is spelled T-R-E-L-L-O. Go to Trello.com, get a free account. And as Sally mentioned, we've created a sample board for you that if you want to try it out, all you got to do is copy our board and you've got a good head start.
Yeah, I reckon it's a good time for a special shout out to Julia Wagenknecht. We had her at our last Wells Tech conference back in 2015, and she did this same thing. She gave us a sample board to work with.
A whole workshop on Trello.
And, yeah, during her workshop, she demonstrated different things. So that's kind of what we wanted to jump to today was how you can use the cards that are part of your board. Your board is basically a web page. It's a place to display tasks, things to do in different columns, and the columns are called list, and you can organize your columns or name your columns any way you want. What we did on our sample board was we named them look ahead, in progress, and done, so that you're kind of using that mentality that you're looking a month or a quarter ahead at the things that are coming up. And then you're working on the things that are happening this month or this quarter. And when you're done, you get the satisfaction of moving it over to the done column or list and seeing all you've accomplished. So there's some flow to the work. And like I said, it's a good feeling when you get to move things to done.
Right. So we thought maybe this week we'd spend just a little bit of time, and recognize not everybody's watching because we are kind of demonstrating or showing this as we go. So we'll kind of paint some word pictures, but just kind of walk through how a typical event might work from, you know, kind of beginning to end.
And the events we've chosen to work with are around Lenten worship and Lenten meals. And so we actually have cards on the board titled Lenten Worship and Lenten Meals. And that title and a date perhaps around it show on the front of the card that you see in the list. But when you click once on the card, it opens up a view of what you might say the back of the card. It flips it over, or it displays more details associated with that card. And what we've tried to do is show some of the different things that you can do on your cards. For instance, each card has a main description area at the top of the card where you can put in who's in charge, or add links to things, or describe what you want to happen, or whatever it is that are the key points you want kind of front and center when you look at the card. And one thing that's cool about Trello is as you're working with resources, text on the cards, you can format that text, and they kind of have their own little formatting language. So when you're working on a card, there's a link there to formatting help. And it tells you how to do things like add bulleted list or numbered list or add links. And it's a markdown kind of language that you use. Very simple to pick up on. For instance, if you want to add bullets, you add just a dash at the beginning of the line and it'll make it a bullet. Or if you want to add links, you put it in braces and put the link in parentheses following it. So definitely check that out. They have a more detailed full page of different formatting things that you can do in Trello. And that becomes really useful. And like I said, your fingers kind of learn it. It's very easy, and you can format your content to meet your needs.
One thing I like about this tool, and I think other tools do the same thing, is if you add a due date, there's a calendaring function. So you can actually see all the due dates stack up and kind of look into the future and say, well, this month looks heavy or this month looks light, and can help you kind of in your resourcing of the projects to recognize, boy, we got a ton of stuff going on. We mentioned that in our book, With All Your Heart, where you really kind of have to look at the big picture. You just can't just look at your little area, but you have to understand what the month of February looks like. You know, you've got Lenten worship, but you also have newsletters and calendars and Unity Sunday and these meals and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you begin to see that, hey, we're stretched a little bit thin. And then you can kind of begin to make some decisions on some planning. And that's really the point of getting it all together, not just kind of living a week at a time or even a month at a time, and kind of spread out your volunteer workforce and figure out what's going to make sense for us to do as an organization.
Definitely. Again, when you're looking at it, the date happens right up at the top as well. And then you kind of have an area, typically cards, let's see if I can find one. Cards just have an area for adding comments, and you can use some of that markup language. You can attach things. You can at mention members on your board, and they'll get a notice that you've talked about them. Martin, I don't know if I've ever at mentioned you in Trello or not.
I don't know if there's a day that you haven't at mentioned me is what you probably meant to say.
Kind of draw their attention to projects and things you need their input on or whatever it is. Other things you can do is you can add checklists. That's one of my favorite things to do is make a checkoff list and give it a title, add things to it. And as you accomplish them, you can actually check the little box and it'll show you what percentage you've accomplished for that checklist. And it actually displays on the front of the card how many of your checklist items you've completed. Maybe there's 10 items on your checklist and it'll show 1 through 10. And once you've completed them all, the little icon on the front of the card turns green. You know, you've done all the checklist items. So it's pretty powerful as well.
Yeah, one of the neat things about those checklists is you can actually turn any one checklist item into its own card itself. So if you're into the project and you're recognizing, but boy, this is bigger than I thought it would be. This little checklist item looks so small, you know, when I put it on here, but boy, it's kind of grown. It's easy enough to take that out, pull that out, and kind of make it its own task or make its own card, and then develop more resources and have a checklist on that as well. So there's opportunities to kind of grow and shrink things as you figure out, you know, what the project means going through it.
Yeah, I guess just kind of keying off what you just said, Martin, it takes time to figure this out and develop a workflow. So don't be too intimidated. Try things. And if it doesn't work well for you to turn things into a card or whatever it may be, then do it different the next time. And eventually, over time, as you use the tools more and more, they'll become more familiar to you, and you'll kind of carve out your plan for how you standard work with the different things that are available. Another thing you can do, I think I mentioned it already, is you can add attachments. So sometimes you might have a document you want to share or an image that you've come up with, maybe a logo for your Lenten soup and bread meals or whatever it is, that you can add those images, and they can show on the front of the card if you want them to, or you can turn off that display if you don't want it to show on the front of the card.
Yeah, one of my favorite features of this, because it allows you to keep all your stuff together, so you can include spreadsheets and Word docs and, you know, whatever, or links. They have nice integration with Google Docs and OneDrive, those kinds of things, where you can link right out to those. You can go out, edit them, and then whoever is you're collaborating with can click that link and they get the latest and greatest as well. So it's kind of a living document.
And probably one of the features I rely on most heavily in Trello is something called labels. It's another way of tagging things or identifying things. And labels can be associated with colors. So if you're a visual person, having colors on your card can make a difference as well. A cool thing that Trello did recently is you can actually click on the colored labels and it'll display the words associated with those. So in our example board, we've used green labels to represent the newsletter. Anything with a green label, we got to have a newsletter article to go along with that. And so it's really easy then to scan down your list and kind of get an idea of what's going to be in the newsletter this month if you use that kind of labeling system. Labels are really easy to create, and you can set them up however you want. It's totally free form. So when you click on create a new label, you have a choice of 10 different colors you can make use of, and you can use the same color for multiple things if you want. And you simply give the label a name, and then you can add it to your card. It'll be on your list of labels, and you can easily add it on your cards. And again, visual impact of that is really meaningful for me as I work through Trello boards, and I think you could see the power of that just in our little demonstration.
And then with labels and actually other content on these cards, you can use some filtering technologies to kind of reduce this massive cards, which you're going to get if you're doing an annual calendar, especially, or an annual board, down to just maybe what's interesting to you. So you can say, well, just filter on the newsletter stuff so that whoever's in charge of that can just see the view that shows just their newsletter stuff. So it's a lot more useful view rather than try and scroll through, you know, probably hundreds of cards if you use this effectively. You can search on text within a card. You can search on ownership of a card. I don't know that we mentioned that, but you can assign these to different people, to an individual or multiple people. So you can say, just say, show me my stuff. Filtering is probably one of the most useful features, especially if you're dealing with these larger boards.
Definitely powerful tools. So, and then of course, there's just the plain old comments. I mentioned those before, but it becomes a running thread of conversation around the task. So you can have back and forth. You can just note, I talked to a certain person on a certain date, and this is the decision we made, so that you can go back and look through the history that's recorded on that card and be able to be totally up to date on it. That may not be the most valuable thing right now in the moment, because it's all fresh on your mind, but imagine looking at this card a year from now and seeing all those things that you did and the conversations you had, the checklist you used, and being able to not start from scratch, but just copy that old card and start again with the level of effort you had put into it already.
Really important concept. I don't know that we can overemphasize the fact that kind of all the communication, all the things that go into making a project successful need to be captured on that card, so that a year from now, 3 years from now, whatever, you can look back and say, oh, that's how we got to this decision, or that was the background, or these were the decisions that we made, etc. One other nice thing is you don't have to necessarily live in the board to take advantage of some of its features. There are notifications that can be set up, so you can subscribe to a card, and when something gets updated, added, an attachment's added, or a comment's made, you can get notified via email, and then you can also contribute to the conversation on the card by simply responding to that email, and that gets captured on the card as well. So you can kind of live in whatever tool you want. I would say there are advantages to going to the board. There's some things that you can do on the board that you can't do through like an email interface, but you can stay up to date on what's happening with the project or what's happening with a card via these notifications.
Yeah, just fair warning that they can stack up in your inbox if you have a lot of cards in play. You know, you have to kind of stay on top of the email that's associated with them, or make a rule in your inbox to send them to a certain folder and look at that folder one time a day or something like that. So there's some management around that. I guess, Martin, it strikes me as we're talking through all of this, we're calling it planning, we're using a cool tool to do it, but ultimately what we're doing is something that's not real glamorous. It's documentation, because documenting all of this information is so valuable and so helpful as you try to make things better, as you look at it again in the future, whatever the case may be. And these tools make it easy and fun, dare I say, to do your documentation. Yes.
And keep in mind that one of the big reasons that an organization like a church or school really needs something like this, at least in our opinion, is because you could be dealing with different leadership on a project from year to year. Our organizations are based on volunteers, or even if they aren't based on volunteers, they're based on staff. That staff leadership may change for a particular project. It may have been one teacher who ran the VBS 1 year, and then they took a call, or it's somebody else's responsibility next year. You just have to assume that the person that did it this year is not going to do it next year. And just think how valuable this kind of content would be to somebody coming in new, where they can see the entire history of a project, all the assets, all the resources, kind of the running history of comments, the checklists, all those kinds of things. Whoa, super valuable.
And then they can zoom out and see the big picture of the whole quarter, the whole year, whatever it may be, see the calendar. All the different angles of this make it super valuable.
Yep. And yeah, we make it sound a little glamorous. It's not. It's hard work when you're into it. But I think it's a lot easier work than trying to start from scratch and figure this Definitely. Stuff out year over year over year.
We'd love to hear from any of our listeners and viewers who are using Trello or some other system to manage their year of planning for the church or school. Tell us about your experience and what you've learned along the way.
Yeah, just remember the great resource that Sally has created for us, the sample Trello board, and some of these items on here may resonate with you, so you really have got a good head start on some of the stuff that's out there. So take a look at the demo board, and then feel free to copy this over and just maybe use it as a starting point. I think there's some good seed there if you want to start something like this yourself.
Definitely.
All right, let's move along. We are up to the point in our show where we have a news and tech segment, and our news this week is just kind of a reminder. I have mentioned a particular application. I'm not quite sure what to call it. It's a cloud site called docs.com. It is something that Microsoft put together to allow you to share documents. And it worked with Facebook. It works with OneDrive, those kinds of things that allow you to share Word documents, PowerPoints, PDFs, those kinds of things, slide shares even. It's going away. And I've mentioned this probably earlier in the year when they announced this, I think it was July. The time has come where this is going to finally fade off into the sunset. December 15th, which is this Friday, docs.com will be no more. I think they're repurposing the URL for something, but it won't be the same personalized cloud service that you could store documents in or make documents available. They just found that not enough people were using it, so it's time for it to go away. So if you have stuff there, just make sure that you, first of all, are taking a look at whether there's stuff there you need to download or get off of there. But also you may want to think about how you want to share these documents in the future. And there are many services that will do that, some to greater or lesser degrees. One service that I use pretty regularly for document sharing is Google Docs. I just create a public folder. I put stuff in there. It doesn't just have to be Google Doc kinds of things. It can be Word docs and pictures and those kinds of things. So that's just one option, but there are many others. So you may want to think about that. But December 15th, if you're using it, that's the last rodeo for docs.com.
Good to know. Very timely information. I have some timely Wells information to share because it is the season, as they say, and that's the season for giving. And perhaps you're thinking about giving gifts, but it is also the season for charitable donations. And you certainly can donate to Wells and a lot of different areas of Wells by using our online donation tool. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. You can specify amounts, make it a one-time gift, do it in honor of someone, send someone a notification about the gift. There are lots of different ways that you can set up your gifting. And all of that at community.wells.net. We'll throw that link in the show notes.
Yeah, any area of ministry you can think of is represented there: World Missions, Home Missions, Ministerial Ed. There's lots of opportunities to pick that. Not just one-time giving, but recurring gifts, too, if you want to set something up, maybe for the new year, $25 a month or whatever it is, you've got an opportunity there. So community.wells.net is a link.
Excellent.
And Sally's other giving recommendations here, too.
That's right. It is brought to us by the Shop Wells folks. So just a reminder that you can donate as you search and as you shop. And we have a page put together where you can learn more about that. And it allows you to use your search to give to a charitable organization. And it also encourages you to use things like Amazon Smile or eBay, where you can designate a charitable organization to receive part of the income from any purchases you make. I just did some Amazon Smile shopping myself not long ago, and it actually tells me right there on the screen that I'm giving to Wells and how much I've given to Wells and things like that. So it's a real great way to give as you do your gifting.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right, we've come to the point in our show where we offer up our either tips or picks of the week, and it's ladies first on Wells Tech as usual. Sal, you have a pick this week?
I do. My pick this week is a brand new mouse to me. It's the Logitech.
Oh my goodness, something new in your hand.
Yeah, hardware. Okay. M720. Price is $28.95 with free shipping on Amazon currently. So I'm holding it right here. Looks like a pretty typical mouse. Actually, I've been used to using the Logitech mouses that are kind of cute and smaller. And that fits my hand just fine. But to get this nice big one with a rest for my thumb and everything, I really have fallen in love with it very quickly in terms of the feel of the mouse. But the reason that I'm recommending it is because I'm trying to downsize having a mouse for one computer for work and a mouse for a separate computer for home and consolidate it all into one mouse. And I actually have a little MacBook that I use at times, and I'm not a huge fan of the trackpad. There's not a lot of USB connectivity on that MacBook. It's got very limited slots
one
for plugging port. Things in. Yeah. And so having this mouse in particular is very special because it works via Bluetooth and you can connect up to three computers. So there's a little button on the side, and I just clicked the wrong thing. Sorry. And that button allows you to switch between three different computers, set up the Bluetooth connection with each individual computer, and then toggle between them as needed to work with this one mouse on different computers. Now, I've been doing this for a while on a monitor setup and, you know, switching my monitor out. And that's fairly common these days, especially with the larger monitors and things. They have multiple inputs and things like that. You can even buy special cabling if it doesn't have special inputs for that. But having the concept transferred to my mouse is really powerful for me. So, and at a real affordable price. It's called a triathlon mouse because it is designed for three different devices, and I'm really happy with the results. It's quick to pick up on the new computer when I do switch it, and reduces the amount of hardware needed to run my various computers. So cool. Been good for me.
That's, you said Logitech, right?
It is. It's a Logitech M720.
They're pretty much the kings of, I think, mice. What's the cost?
$28.95.
Really? That is like dirt cheap. Wow.
Yeah. So
that's incredible. So how did you decide on this particular mouse? Did you field test? Did you look at reviews, Wirecutter? What did you use to make the decision here?
I did look at reviews on Amazon. I pretty much shopped Amazon for it. And I also just Googled, how do you do one mouse for multiple computers? And there aren't a lot out there that do this kind of thing. And certainly of the ones that I found, this was a more affordable option. So that's why I settled on it.
Very good. Well, my pick is not as spendthrift as yours is, unfortunately, but I probably love it just as much, and that is an iPad Pro, the 10.5-inch. I've had this for a while now, and I don't know if I mentioned it when I got it, you know, a while back, but I like the form factor, as you mentioned, with the mouse too, but just the flexibility of a tablet. And I was skeptical, I think, of tablets for quite some time, because you know, when I really wanted to do some hardcore computing, I needed, you know, a full-on laptop. And then I had a pretty smartphone as well. And I thought, well, this tablet is kind of a funny place in between. But over time, I have really recognized the value of the form factor, especially traveling. But I probably use the tablet more than I ever thought I would, especially when I'm at home. And as I mentioned, traveling. So if I'm sitting on the couch and I want to get some work done, or just casual surfing or education or watching a movie or whatever it is, I turn to the iPad, because I like the size of this new screen, this 10.5. It's just a little bit bigger than their original one, which was 9-point-something. I got with it the Magic Keyboard, which kind of is a funny contraption. You can see that it You have to do all kinds of gyrations to get it into place, but it's really not that bad once you get used to it. And it does cover the front of the tablet pretty well. I don't have anything on the back. I'm fairly careful with it. But the keyboard itself does just a real nice job with text entry, which is one of my pet peeves about using a tablet is, you know, using the, you know, kind of the glass-based keyboard. But using this keyboard, which is just a little bit smaller than a regular keyboard, but very responsive. And I like the use of arrow keys. That was one of the other challenges using a tablet, is you couldn't get, you know, the cursor to the right spot on the screen real easily. So the form factor, the keypad, just the portability of it makes it a real useful device for me. And like I say, I can do almost anything. There are only just a couple things that I can't do on the tablet that I can do on a laptop. One of them, and I think that's going away pretty quickly here, is editing. So I don't actually edit our podcast, for instance, on this. That would be one thing. And then that's basically it. Unless it requires like a bigger screen, and I don't do the podcast itself. So when we're recording right now, obviously I'm using a full-size monitor and keyboard and camera, although I could do it on this. It would just take a little bit of work. So it can be done, especially with what Google Hangouts does for us. But I think for the price and for many people, I would say potentially a laptop fits nicely into a bag or a purse. I know my wife carries her iPad in her purse even, so it's really portable that way. Battery life is excellent too, so 10, 12 hours, something like that, which really no laptop can touch. So to be able to take this on a weekend or whatever. So I'm headed up your direction, Sally, tomorrow. And basically I'll just be taking the iPad that gets me my email, surfing, everything else that I need to do essentially while I'm out of the office is available there. So I really only have good things to say about the tablets. I have used Android tablets in the past, not quite as impressed. The battery life is not as good. I don't think the ecosystem is quite as good. But Apple kind of has it together with their App Store and the way they put some real quality into, you know, these particular systems. Really impressed with what they've done.
You know, it's amazing times we live in, Martin, that we have such choices at such great price points. So, I mean, literally, you can stay in the under $300 market and go Chromebooks like you talked about last week, and yep, and some of them are touchscreen and flip around tablet kind of wannabes, and you can certainly get laptops starting down there. Actually, I got a new laptop at Thanksgiving, and the doorbuster price was $359, and it's got a 2 terabyte drive in it, you know, so you can get the laptop experience with the touchscreen on it, and you can do tablets, you can do phones that are large scale phones that maybe would replace a tablet. There's just so many options. And I was just thinking about my Logitech keyboard. It would, because it's Bluetooth, it would work with the iPad too, I'm assuming. Right. So many different directions you can go. It's really personal preference and living with it for a while and seeing what you like best.
And options, and I bring it up also as options for family members. So I know that at one point, I think you set your mom up with the mm-hmm. iPad, right? A little simpler operation, virus-free. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier for them to maintain. It updates itself. Good battery life, portability, those kinds of things all come with the package.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So great pick.
All right. Let's move on to our ministry resource. And we will have to say this is the last show host sponsored written ministry resource, at least certainly in 2017. But for a while, we're going to count on our community to point us to some good ministry resources that we can share. But throughout all of 2017, Sally and I tag teamed it all the way from January to December. I think it was January to December.
It seems
like only yesterday where we decided we're going to really focus. 2017 is going to be the year of the ministry resource. And lo and behold, 50 weeks later, we've done it. And Sally's going to crossed the finish line with hers today.
Virtual high five there, Martin.
Yeah.
Good job. And not that we're excited that we're done, but yeah, we're excited. You know, it's amazing when you stop and think about it, the number of things that are out there. And I did have to do a little thinking each and every week. I wanted to come up with ideas that would be useful in the church and school setting. And this week I went really basic, and I am talking about the website Doodle. Actually, it's an app you can use via the web or mobile. They have a mobile version as well. It's at doodle.com. And I actually, in my ministry resource blog post, did kind of a walkthrough of the Doodle experience in pictures, because I thought that was probably the easiest way to show you what you get with Doodle. And it's kind of a long blog post because the pictures take up a lot of space. But by the time I got to the end, I realized that it probably will take you longer to read the blog post than it will to set up Doodle and make use of it. And maybe it's time for me to tell you what Doodle does for you. Doodle is a site where you can coordinate and decide on meeting times. Very simple, straightforward. I like the alliteration, simple social scheduling. That's what Doodle does. So I would guess if I asked for a show of hands in the audience, everyone has struggled to coordinate meetings, especially in a church and school setting where you've got staff involved, you've got lots of volunteers involved. You know, days and times to find where everybody can get together for a meeting are really challenging. And I, for one, have been on the receiving end of like an avalanche of email associated with trying to do that as well, where everybody's chiming in and it gets really confusing of who's available when. And so when I get in those situations now, I immediately turn to my friend Doodle. It's a free tool. You have to set up a free account so they'll know your email address. But besides that, really quick to set up a list of ideas of potential meeting times. So you select the days you're interested in meeting. If it's an all-day event, then you can stop there. But if you want, you can also select specific meeting times that you're available to meet. So obviously, you're picking things that work with your schedule right off the bat. But then you can also tell it to allow only certain number of people to register per slot. So I've seen this used where I'm doing a presentation, for instance, and I'm offering it at four different time periods, but I only want maximum of 25 people per time period. So you can use it for people to actually choose which time slot they want to attend and kind of use it in that way. But you can also just use it flat out, let them pick which times work for them to attend the meeting. And so multiple times, once you choose one time duration, for instance, in my example, I picked from 1 to 1:30 p.m. Then I added another option at 2 p.m. and it immediately filled in 2:30 p.m. So you don't even have to go through the process of putting the end time. Once you tell it it's going to be a 30-minute meeting, it'll set that up for you automatically each time. So really quick and easy to choose your time. And then you basically get a link from Doodle that you can email out to people. You can even send the email from within Doodle, or you can just copy the link and send it to people. Now, they don't have to create an account or anything. They just click on the link. It takes them to the website. They put in their name, and they check the boxes associated with the times they're available to meet. And once they've done that, they get a really nice thank you page, and you get a really nice email that tells you they've filled out your poll. And you can go in at any time and see who's filled it out, how the checkboxes are looking, if there are any times that are kind of falling out as being available for most, if not all, people. And then when you're ready, you can close your poll and pick the time, you know, that fits the most schedules and communicate that to the people that are going to be attending your meeting. So it's that simple, and literally the time it's taken me to explain it is longer than the time it'll take you to set it up. It's super quick and easy. And so definitely check out the blog post where I have lots of images that kind of walk you through the whole process. And let us know if you're a Doodle user and it's helping you out. We'd love to hear your story.
Very good. Way to finish it.
Yeah.
Strong through the finish line. Doodle is a tool that it really is an invaluable ministry resource, I think. And I know a lot of people use it now because I've been on the receiving end of these, which is great news because, boy, it's tough, especially when it's more than just a couple people trying to get their heads together. So, and super easy to use. I think we should move to community feedback.
Yep, and I just realized I don't have my phone. Let me grab my phone real quick. Because I'm hoping that my microphone will pick this up.
I was going to do it on mine. You can do it. That's fine.
No, it's fine if you want to. We read the Where's Melchior devotions last week. That's the creative thing that we talked about on last week's show where they took one of the wise men from their nativity scene out at Christ Our Savior in Rockford, Michigan, and they've written a devotion series around the wise man traveling to their nativity scene. They've pictured him all throughout the town. A very creative and fun devotion series that they're doing. And one of them last week talked about how we rely on technology for directions. And it encouraged you to try asking, okay, Google, how do I get to heaven? So do you have that ready, Martin? You want to play it?
Let me try it here.
See what kind of results we get.
How do I get to heaven?
According to WikiHow, according to the Bible, there is only one way to get to heaven, repenting of your sins and placing your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It should be noted that it is by grace, through faith, not by your works, but by the works of Christ alone, that you are saved.
Who knew that Google was Lutheran? My goodness, what a great answer.
Very Lutheran response, I'm thinking. Yeah, that's sweet. So if you don't believe it, try it yourself. I don't know if you ask Alexa the same thing, whether you'd get that, but Google's got it right here. So yeah. Give that a try. Very, very cool.
Definitely share that one. Okay, Google, how do I get to heaven? That's a good thing to ask. All right. And then we heard from listener Kevin Smith. Kevin is at, I want to say, Christ Lutheran in Zumbrota, Minnesota. And he was listening to our show last week where we were talking about planning for the church year. And he wrote to say that one thing that's always stumped me about using online services like Trello and Slack and others is that user and user email accounts set up is in the middle. So it's true if you want to get other people into your Trello board, for instance, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, they're going to need a Trello account to interact with the cards and things. And what he's saying is that, you know, oftentimes the roles of volunteers and things change over time. So if you want your church secretary to have access and his term ends and another church secretary comes in, then how do you get him into it and assuming those responsibilities that the previous church secretary had on the board? So very good question. He says, would you recommend something like creating a Trello admin at mydomain.com email account and then forward all the emails to the actual admin, or is there some other solution?
Martin. Kevin's got it nailed. That's what I would do. I would create, and you don't have to necessarily do it at your own domain if your domain does not support that or you get charged per email, but you do it at Gmail or whatever. Almost all email services give you that forwarding capability. So yeah, create a generic email like that and then use the forwarding feature. There's also the ability to do that with Google Groups where you could have more than one person that would receive it as well. So I think that's an excellent idea and I think you'd want to document that so you know who's getting what. I could go on your Trello board and then figure out who gets what as the baton gets handed to somebody new.
Yep. So they would log in then with something like secretary@mydomain.com or at gmail.com or whatever it is, CosRock secretary or whatever. And then they would hand off that login credentials and things to the next person. And the email would be set up to forward to the next person in that role.
Yeah. So somebody doesn't have to check their Trello admin at mydomain.com. Kevin suggested they would just check their own email. But when they logged in, they'd use, you know, the one that was provided.
Those credentials.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the way to go. Good, great question. And he answered his own question. So those are the ones we like the best.
Thanks for listening, Kevin. And keep on listening and sending us your great ideas.
Awesome. If you would want to contribute like Kevin did to our community feedback section, we would love it if you would. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you can see all of our podcasts and ministry resources are listed there. And below each one, you can enter a comment, which would get some feedback to the show. Or you can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, or any of the social networks that we're on. And those are all listed across the top, anything from Google+, to Pinterest, to Facebook, to Twitter, to Digo, Instagram. They're all there, as well as our Wells Tech Google group, which has hundreds of people participating in it, and it is a good place to ask these types of questions and get great answers too. So there's a link to that as well. Sally, do we have a video of the week?
We do. Thanks to our friends at Koine, the church band, released last Friday, Mary Did You Know? And it's a beautiful rendition of it. A little bit different from Koine, because normally I think it's Brian Davidson who's singing the lead on almost all of their music, but this has a female voice in it as well. And just a beautiful hymn, and we think you'll enjoy it. It's on our music playlist over on YouTube as well.
All right. To finish out the year, we've got two shows left, and we'll follow, we're Lutheran, so we follow a traditional liturgy here. The next to last show of the year will be a special interview with usually a new administrator in the Center for Mission and Ministry in the Synod office here. And Pastor Don Doberstein has recently joined us as Director of Discipleship. So we will have a chance to sit down and talk with him about his role and what he thinks about technology and its use in his work. So that'll be next week. And then the last show of the year is kind of our picks and, you know, our favorites of 2017. So we'll kind of go through the year, our favorite picks, some of our favorite interviews, shows, those kinds of things. These are shorter shows. We like to keep it lighter, make it a little bit easier on our schedules as we have commitments as well. So that'll be the last show of the year. And then 2018 will hit, and then we'll be at 30-something, I believe. So
we'll be at our 10-year podcasting anniversary.
That's right. Next time you can quiz me on that too, and I can fail again. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really do appreciate you tuning in whenever you can. And even more, we appreciate you sharing the fact that this show exists. If you want to watch it, if you want to listen to it, doesn't matter to us. There are many ways to grab it, but the important thing is to get this in the hands of people who can take advantage of some of these things that we talk about, or that things are shared with us, and use them to God's glory and to help spread the precious gospel of the coming Savior. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.